Welcome back to the Renaissance, episode 156. Nice. Ray, how you doing, buddy? You good?
I'm good. I'm excited about Christmas because I've been a pretty good boy this year, so I expect to get something out of it.
What are you hoping for specifically? What's on your list to Santa this year?
Okay, you know, just between you and me, I'm going to whisper this.
Another 6 inches.
Wow, to triple its length. That would be great.
I was talking about your height.
Oh, that was embarrassing for me. Okay. Anyway, six here, six out, six up. It's all great. No, I'm relying on the magic of Santa because I've sent out vibes, Christmas vibes. I don't know exactly what I want, but make it good. So I'll see how good Santa is. You know, is he a good mind reader, crystal ball, the snowball, whatever. I'm not getting too excited. What do you want for Christmas? What do you want besides the chlamydia to clear up? What do you want?
I don't believe in celebrating stolen pagan now Christian festivals, Ray. For years, I tried to get Anaxagoras Day off the ground. You remember the old Anaxagoras Day? That was my replacement for December 25th, celebrating history, the first recorded atheist in history, Anaxagoras. He was a Greek atheist circa, I think, 350 BCE. Mm-hmm. And he said his crime, for which he had his tongue removed by the authorities in Athens, was he said that the sun, not a god, just a big ball of fire, really, yeah. I think. Just a big ball of fire.
Gas.
And they were like, heretic.
Yeah.
And they cut out his tongue.
God. So would Christmas, would him's name after him be like, because no tongue. Is that too soon? I'm sorry. I could go on for hours. I'm sorry. I think we found out why it didn't take off, Cam. I think we're on this. See, that's an example of insensitivity. That's why I'm not getting any gifts this year.
So you don't get any gigs either these days at the comedy clubs.
Pretty much.
You've been canceled. Yeah. Canceled.
Yeah. I go to open mic night. The No Tongue Association,
the people with no tongues protested that you were offending their right not to have a tongue.
Right. Well, they protest two things, actually. One, me. And the other one is oral sex, but you can imagine. Of course,
their protests are just people standing around going, and it's not really.
No.
This is not effective.
Are they angry? Protest. Are they happy? Are they confused? Are they asking directions? What? Anyway. So
does it help when you go up to them and go, what was that?
Say what? It slowly, enunciate.
No, stop. It's got in my eye.
It's like you're Welsh. Go ahead.
Stop making me laugh. I had a serious thing to talk about.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if you ever listened to my early G'day World shows. I know you listened to a bit of Napoleon, but.
Yeah.
Coming up in 2 weeks, it's 26th of November, it will be the 18th anniversary of G'day World, my first podcast.
Nice.
First podcast in Australia, blah-de-blah-de-blah. The guy I started it with, my original co-host, Miroslav, a.k.a. Mick Stanek.
Right.
We started the first podcast in Australia, G'day World, in November 2004. We started the world's first podcast network in February 2005. We were the first people to record a Skype call and put it out as a podcast. We were the first people to do interviews and put them out as a podcast, you know, doing it over Skype. We were the first people to sell podcast advertising, or Mick was actually. We sold a Motorola ad for the Razor, came out in 2005, ran on our podcasts. Well, there's a lot of firsts. Sadly, our relationship didn't last very long, lasted about a year or so, and then
right.
we parted company, as you can well understand, having worked with me for nearly 10 years. And I didn't speak to him ever again, and haven't really paid much attention to what's going on. And a week or so ago, last weekend,
right.
I think I'd mentioned him to you or I'd mentioned him to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I wonder what Mick Stanek's up to. So I Googled him, and I found out that he passed away
right.
2 years ago, early 2020.
Right.
I'm not sure if it was from COVID, but apparently he'd been suffering from early onset dementia mm-hmm. for some time, and that seems to have been related to his passing.
Right.
He was only 51.
Damn.
And I didn't know. No one told me. I hadn't heard about it. Because, you know, if you're an ex-host of mine, co-host,
yes,
I just cut you right out like a cancer. You know, I don't have anything to cut you out.
No.
Anyway, I was actually thinking about, you know, inviting him back. Maybe we do an anniversary.
Oh, that'd be cool.
20th, yeah. We do an anniversary show and we talk about 20 years and podcasts and how it's changed. I don't think he ever did any more podcasts after we stopped working together.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's just a warning out there to my podcast co-hosts.
Right.
Watch yourself.
Yes, yes.
Working with me can give you early onset dementia,
yes,
apparently.
I feel
and
right.
B, you know.
Yeah.
You don't last very long if you stop working with me. I am the spice of life. I'm the thing that keeps it going.
That's one interpretation. I'd like to react to that. One, J. David better watch out. Two, after the first year, I was hoping to get dementia. It actually would be a relief. Three, our relationship did die after the first year. We're just kind of hanging out because we don't know what else to do on Thursday night. So, no, it's, yeah.
Now here's the question I have. How would any of us tell if you had dementia?
Because Cheryl
what would change?
Would tell me. Right, Cheryl? Yeah, she
yeah,
said,
but then you'd forget a minute later. So
she probably has told me. Fuck. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to have to investigate this. I don't know. I'll get back to you. And, or maybe I won't. I don't know. I'll forget. Mm. I don't know.
Forget about what?
Was it turtles? What were we talking about? I don't know.
See, it's don't okay. Know. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Not turtles today on the episode.
No,
swans.
Christ.
We're going to talk about swans.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
The other kind of turtle. The winged turtle,
yeah,
as swans are sometimes called.
That sounds right.
In medical literature.
Or the Bible.
The winged swan. Yeah. Yeah, the Bible told us they were really just turtles
right.
that had God had given them wings. He was bored one day, God. He was like,
yeah.
Oh, so fucking bored. I don't know. I'm just going to start giving things wings, just see what happens, you know. And he found it. He saw a turtle, took its shell off, gave it wings, boom, swan.
Oh, swan.
He was like, yeah, all right. And he was gonna reverse it, but he had early onset dementia.
He just moved
and
on.
And he forgot what he was doing.
He's like, oh, look
and
at
that's
the cloud.
It. Stuck with swans ever again.
Yeah, but the thing I like about the turtles is that you can take the animal, kill it, turn it upside down, use its own body as a bowl. So, again, thank you, God, for that, carry on, if you will.
Yeah. You just turn it upside down. What I do with the turtles is I put them in the oven.
Right.
On the barbecue upside down, cook them while they're alive,
mm-hmm.
and then just use, you know, you stick crackers in their belly, use
ooh.
It as like a chili bowl.
I like this.
And the shell is just the bowl that you – it comes in its own
and
chili
you,
bowl.
Then you rinse out the shell, the bowl, and you put it in your cupboard and you move on.
And put it on my head.
Not great.
I wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, turtle.
Another turtle done. I've got another mark on my turtle meter. Yeah, another turtle down. How many days till they go extinct? I have this underneath
it. Because of me. Turtle Master. Yeah. Anyway.
One of the funny things about Leonardo, Ray.
Right.
He says 10 minutes into the show. is that while his notebooks contain lots of random bullshit trivia that no one cares about, like how much he spent on food that week or how much he spent on clothes for Sally, his shopping, you know, is literally his shopping list.
Yes.
He doesn't often record either what paintings he's working on, who they were for, when they were finished, where they ended up, none of that kind of stuff, despite the fact that he obviously thought of himself as a genius.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably didn't think it mattered. I mean,
Right.
Just as an example, comparing genius to genius, in my diary.
So, yeah.
I don't often talk about.
I didn't laugh, Cheryl.
I didn't. I don't often talk about the podcast that I'm working on.
Yeah.
I might go, I researched something about Leonardo this week, but I'm not. It's just work.
Yes.
And his paintings were just work.
Daily grind.
That was just his work.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just doing this stuff with his assistants, his students. He was the best there is, and he knew it.
Right.
But it's still just work. He's not thinking, oh, people in the future will want to know about this shit. He's not like taking selfies and life blogging and saying, well, you know, when I'm big, rich, and famous, like this is what my son Hunter says, you know, I got to keep a video diary because when I'm famous, people are going to want to see where I came from. They want to know my whole story. Really, I don't think they will. No, I don't really.
Maybe like 2% of the diehard fans will want to know the origin story. But other than that, I don't care that Peter Parker gets bit by the spider. Just put on the costume and start swinging. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, start swinging already. That's all I care about. Yeah.
I did want to ask. Do you think that maybe Leo, because he was the best and he was well known and his reputation had preceded him to Florence, I would think that I don't have to sign these. Everybody's going to know this is a fucking Leo. And because I'm very careful, studying paints and stuff should last for a while or there'll be copies or whatever. But I get at the time that those artists just didn't think of themselves like that. And so they didn't sign it. It would have made our lives a lot easier. But for them, it just wasn't done. And we have to suffer through so many records just trying to put pieces of puzzles together.
Yeah. I mean, despite the fact that he's super famous and super sought after at this stage as a painter, like us, he still, you know, he's not the celebrity painter. He's not Picasso. He's not signing every piece of work and dating it for the future record. He's like, all right, job's done. What's next?
Let me get back to my birds. Let me get back to the wings. Let me get to light refracting shit. Yeah. So, I mean, he's not an artist celebrity laying around looking to get high. He does his paintings and then he goes back to whatever project or curiosity he is trying to solve at the moment.
Or dick he's trying to suck at the whatever. Time. So we often have to rely on Vasari or letters from contemporaries that have managed to survive down through the ages to know about what he did at different stages, particularly where we don't have the original work that he did. And there's a number of cases that we've talked about some in the past. There's some more here, such as the Battle of Anghiari. We need to look at copies of his work done by assistants or followers to know about paintings he did that have gone missing. And you know, quite surprisingly, I think, even paintings done in this stage in the early 1500s after he got back to Florence and before he goes back to Milan down the track, like, he's super famous here. He's, you know, he's the man.
Yeah.
And yet we still have paintings from this period. He's going to be dead soon.
Yeah.
But, he's at the peak of his artistic skills.
I'm peaking, baby! Sorry.
And, you know, all we have to go by is the stains from where he wiped himself off on the curtains afterwards. We don't.
Not satisfied.
Like, even these paintings that he did, like some of them at the peak of his artistic talents, gone. We know very little about them apart from there are copies. There's mentions of them, and then there are copies of them. And art historians and experts have to try and piece together what happened. Now, the Battle of Anghiari I mentioned, tell the audience all about the Battle of Anghiari, Ray.
Well, there was Angi and there was Ari, and they just were not getting along, and they got their best buds, and they all...
Is Ari gold?
Yeah.
He's like, let's hug it out, bitch. And Angi was angry. It was angry at Ari. That's originally what it was about. Yeah. He was angry at Ari because he kept saying, let's hug it out, bitch.
But here's why it's famous. Most people don't know this, and I hope to school some of you. This was the first recorded game of chicken. Two men on horses this way, two men on horses this way. They come in, and you can see it in the student or the engraving or whatever, not the student, but the person who painted from an engraving. They literally slam into each other. So what's notable about this, besides the incredible detail of the artwork, it is the first game of chicken on horseback in Italy. Now you know. Now you know. No, I don't know anything about what they were fussing over.
Yeah. Why am I surprised? I mean, I can't blame you. It's your early onset.
Thank you.
Dementia,
I probably knew 20 minutes ago. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve, it's gone. Yeah.
Keep it happy. All right. He's got meetings coming up. He's got scripts to read. He's got to keep focused. All right. Have a good time with the guy. Keep his mind off that fucking review. All right.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. Right. We in this together? Are we in it together?
Yeah, you're right.
Ah, I'm kidding. Don't fucking mention that review again. All right.
Not.
You want to hug it out?
No, not really.
Let's hug it out, bitch.
Oh, that's
okay.
Accurate.
So
yes.
Battle of Anghiari, 1505.
Sounds right.
Was a planned painting by Leonardo in the Salon di Cinquecento, the Hall of the 500, in the Palazzo Vecchio.
Right.
Its central scene would have depicted four men riding war horses engaged in a battle for a standard at the Battle of Anghiari, which took place in 1440.
Right.
Now, it was fought between the forces of Milan and the League of Italian States led by the Republic of Florence in the wars in Lombardy. We've mentioned this early on in our Renaissance series. It was a victory for the Florentines.
Yay!
And it was sort of the one of the battles that secured their dominion over central Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's remarkable for the fact that battle lasted all day.
Right.
Involved several thousand troops. And it is said that only one soldier was killed.
Sorry.
And according to Machiavelli,
right.
It was after 4 hours of skirmishing, one soldier died when he fell off his horse, prompting people to call it the worst battle ever. I think when we talked about it last time, we were talking about the fact that both sides, Milan and Florence's side and Florence's league, were fought by mercenaries.
Yes.
Yes. And mercenaries are getting paid by the hour. Yeah.
Not if they're dead.
And they're like, oh, no, we're fighting. Please, no, don't. Oh, look, he looked at me. You know,
pushed me down.
Yeah, okay, now you hit
my codpiece.
And this is where I hit you back. Right. And I'm going to hit you now. Get ready to block this one. You know.
And 2, 3, 4, and strike. And quick, the boss is looking. And 3, yeah, stage. This is fake as wrestling. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Da Vinci was going to paint this for the hall of the Palazzo in the Palazzo Vecchio. You would think, you know, not really one of the proudest moments in Florence's history, right. But it was a deciding battle. They went, oh, you won. Okay, yeah. We're going to go now. So we don't have that. He must have done some work on it. There's some drawings in his notebook, some preparatory drawings, and we have some copies done of it, but we don't know anything about it. We don't know if it got done, if it didn't get done, if people did other later works based on something that Leonardo did. Mm-hmm. You know, we have these paintings of it that say, and etchings, engravings that say, you know, based on the Leonardo, but we don't have the Leonardo.
We don't know that.
The other one, very famous from around this time that we don't have,
yes.
is Leda and the Swan.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Another battle?
Of sorts, yeah. Leda and the Swan,
right.
And we've talked about this before because there was somebody else that did a painting of this. I can't remember. Might have been an early Botticelli or somebody like that. I can't remember.
Mm.
But Leda and the Swan is a story from Greek mythology in which the god Zeus or sure. Jupiter, when the Romans are telling it, the Italians are telling it,
right,
takes the form of a swan,
sure,
to rape Leda. And I actually, you know, we have a clip of him doing this here.
Oh, please.
Yeah,
please.
He goes like this:
size of an elephant.
Except in this particular case, he turned into a swan.
Well, a well-endowed swan, but continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to have sex with the lovely Leda. Now, on our Caesar show recently, we talked about Poseidon taking the form of a dolphin to have sex with a princess. In this case, we have Zeus, the big boss of all the gods, taking the role of a swan. Because, you know, I try to explain this on the Caesar show. I'm sure people who listen to this probably listen to the Caesar show as well.
Right,
but it's very important to understand that women, generally speaking, aren't attracted to gods.
Sounds right.
Or to humans in general.
It's held me back. Yeah.
Because you're both, you're half god, half human.
Right.
It was a very short god of the dwarves, but you know.
It's still a god.
Still a god.
I would rather be half dolphin and half swan if they got so much action. No one told me this. See, this is why you pay attention to the school kids.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a god and you're going to take the form of something and you want to get some action, don't take the form of a human. You have to, because women are only sexually attracted to animals.
That sounds right.
You know, with a dolphin, it's kind of obvious. It's got that big long nose that looks like a dildo. And in the case of a swan, it's the neck. I think it's the neck that gets women hot.
Yeah.
So Zeus took the form of a swan to rape, quote unquote, Leda. Now, you know, it depends on your reading of the story, whether it was rape or consensual.
She doesn't look right in the painting, but go ahead.
Well, in this painting, you're not. Yeah, but Leda, according to Roman and Greek mythology, ends up being the mother of Helen of Troy, the reason for the Trojan War. By the way, my mother was just in Troy last week. She sent me some photos from Troy. I asked her if she got naked and ran around it like Alexander did. Yeah, apparently she did. There's video on TikTok of that. It's going viral.
Was she looking for a knot to untie? And I don't mean...
There's nothing anybody wants to see more than my 70-year-old mother naked running around.
Bouncing around,
walls of Troy, yeah.
Where were we?
Leda ends up being the mother of Helen of Troy, the reason for the Trojan War.
Right.
And she was also the mother of Clytemnestra, who was the wife of Agamemnon.
Not bad.
The commander of the Greek forces in the Trojan War.
Yeah.
Who go to rescue Helen from the Trojans. Leda, at the time she was quote-unquote raped by Zeus the Swan Man, she was married to King Tyndareus, the king of Sparta at the time.
That's not bad.
And with him, she had two kids,
mm-hmm.
Castor and Pollux, the twins who end up dying and becoming gods.
Oh. I didn't know they were born in eggs, though, but we'll get to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's well known that... back in those days, everybody was if you were special,
you were born. That makes sense.
In an egg,
You
were born in a bubble.
I was born in a bubble.
So you're a throwback because you're part god. You were born in a bubble. You know, so a bubble is really just an egg without the shell.
That checks out, actually.
If you take the shell carefully off an egg, you're left with a bubble, and the egg, is in the bubble like you. It's why we call them bubbles.
Leftover half god. I'll take it. There's no pride here. I'll take it. Thank you.
You should have been Jewish so you can have people say, hey, what's up, Bubbler? I'm going to call you Bubbler. Hey, Bubbler. What's up, Bubbler?
Shlemiel. Shlemazel. Yes. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just doing Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in one version of the story, Zeus raped her the same night she had sexy time with her husband.
Oh, right.
And she laid two eggs.
Two groups of eggs? Four eggs total or just two eggs?
No, just two eggs.
Because in the painting, just want to make sure I understand.
There's four. Leonardo didn't have time to wait for her to get raped again.
Yeah.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
Time's ticking.
Now, this was a popular subject, Leda and the Swan, for artists in the 16th century.
Really?
And one reason I read because it was – it was unacceptable at this period to show women fucking a human.
I can see that would have
been against the morals of the time. Catholic Church wouldn't have liked that.
Frowned upon.
Yeah. But if you painted a woman fucking a god in the form of an animal, bestiality
is okay
was acceptable to paint. Yeah, it's okay to paint bestiality.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's a story from mythology.
Right.
Literature
is classic.
Yeah. But you can't be just paying. So if people wanted something erotic if a gentleman
right
wanted an erotic painting on the wall to jerk off to, or to, you know, have his wife jerk off to, or jerk off to it together.
Right. Oh, family time.
Remembering this was the equivalent of porn in the
good point
early 16th century, right? If you wanted porn, it was going to be in the form of a painting.
Right.
And you would have to get like hundreds of paintings painted like about the same subject, and then you would try and flip book them.
Yeah, or just like spin real fast in a room. If they're on the wall, you spin. I don't know. Trying to get, flip book.
You know, 24 frames a second is hard when you're doing it with paintings on walnut. In particular, it was very hard to flip the corner of the walnut.
Where did the church at that time stand on snuff films? Or if you haven't studied that, that's fine. It's a side question. Don't worry about it. Don't answer that.
Don't bring your personal life into the podcast, Ray.
It's a career. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's funny though. Back in the early 1500s in Italy, it was acceptable to do paintings of bestiality,
right?
Although, as we'll find out, not that acceptable as it turns out. But it was relatively acceptable, but not to do regular porn. Today,
right?
We flipped. I can't tell you how much jail time I've done because of the bestiality videos that I was taking. Like, it's, right. I'm like, hold on, this was acceptable 500 years ago, and I believe in the good old ways.
Exactly.
Make Australia great again.
Make bestiality great again. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Bring
back bestiality. BBB, that's the tagline for my next political campaign. Bring back bestiality.
I thought you were going to say, and I'm not going to jump ahead, but I thought you were going to say, you can't really show you can't show a man and a woman having sex. Of course, that makes sense. But she's in her birthday suit. I guess that's acceptable if it's, again, literature, if it's something from the past, if it's history, quote unquote, then I guess that makes it okay. She's got nothing on except for a smile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that.
And it's a full frontal. Well, people were shocked in the day too, which, as it turns out, is probably why we don't have it anymore. The accounts that they were painting, I mean, there was lots of accounts. If you go back into the writings of the Greeks about Leda and the Swan, usually relatively brief. They didn't go into a lot of detail because it was not a big deal. So she got raped by a god in the form of a swan.
Happens all the time. Yeah.
But one of the accounts, and I'll read it out to you. This is from the Metamorphoses of Ovid,
right?
Augustan era poet who fell out with Augustus, as I recall, at some point. And in his version, as you'll see, it doesn't imply rape, but implies consensual sex between Leda and the swan, because Leda had a swan fetish. There's nothing
swanophobe
shameful file? About that. Swanophile is what they're called. Yeah, right. Yeah. Here's the stanzas from Ovid. Arachne drew the famed intrigues of Jove, changed to a bull to gratify his love. I think it means love, but you know, I'm gonna stick to the rhyming meter here. How throw the briny tide, all foaming whore, lovely Europa on his back he bore. The sea seemed waving, and the trembling maid shrunk up her tender feet as if afraid, and looking back on the forsaken strand, to her companions wafts her distant hand. Next she designed Asteria's fabled rape, when Jove assumed a soaring eagle's shape, and shewed how Leda lay supinely pressed whilst the soft snowy swan sate hovering o'er her breast.
Ooh.
How in a satyr's form the god beguiled when fair Antiope with twins he filled. Then like Amphitryon, but a real Jove, in fair Alcmena's arms he cooled his love. In fluid gold to Danae's heart he came. Aegina felt him in a lambent flame. He took Mnemosyne in shepherd's make, and for Deus was a speckled snake. So just lots of stories about Zeus getting his rocks off in the form of different animals.
Right.
Nothing to see here. Just one of the perks of being,
if not the perk,
king of the gods.
Yeah. I can throw lightning, but I can also fuck as a snake. Pretty cool.
It is.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Now, this text, apparently, the Metamorphoses of Ovid comes with a trigger warning for university students these days.
Oh.
Be careful. There's going to be stories of rape and, you know, by gods in the form of animals.
Right.
So there are people that get triggered by that, apparently.
Or, in like in West Virginia, they get turned on. But we're not here to judge. Yeah. We are not here to judge. No. Yeah. It happens. In
West Virginia, it's giving it children at a very early age, like six.
Right.
They like, gather around, children.
This is how you hold the goat still until you're done. And I'm done. Thank you for coming. No pun intended.
Mary Lou, you wipe me off there, Dan, with your dress, honey?
With your gingham. Gingham dress?
I don't even know what gingham is, but my wife goes through rolls of it. Leonardo began making studies in 1504 for a painting of Leda and the Swan.
Right.
In this one, she was going to be seated on the ground with her children.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, that never one was executed. But in 1508, still in Florence.
Right.
He painted a different version of it, this time with Leda standing completely butt naked, as you said,
right.
Or quasi tutta ignuda in Italian,
right.
Almost totally naked, quasi, almost, tutta, totally, ignuda, naked.
Nudie, nudie.
With her cuddling the swan.
Yes, very nice. That's her way of saying thank you for raping. No, I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Come on. No. Well, again, this is sort of based on Ovid's telling of it, which she lay supinely pressed with the snowy swan, Thate hovering o'er her breast. So it sounds like lovely and consensual and cuddly.
Could we say maybe seduced or tricked?
I'm
not trying to piss anybody off. It is rape if you disguise yourself, as my lawyer has told me many times. It is rape if you wear a mask or disguise yourself. But the fact
who knew?
Who knew? I was just as shocked as my lawyer was. Anyway.
And your grandmother was at the time.
Well, she was there. Anyway, seduced. I don't know because Leonardo's not going to focus on the sex. He's going to focus on something else. So I just thought maybe we should use the word seduction.
Now, we don't have Leonardo's painting, as I've said multiple times. There are multiple copies of it, including from his own workshop, but the original has never been found.
Right.
Now, Lomazzo, who was a Milanese painter, lived from 1538 to 1592, so sort of a generation or two after Leonardo, mentions it as one of Leonardo's few finished paintings.
Oh.
So this is how we know that he did actually finish it. We have sort of an historical record for it. It seems to have been at Fontainebleau in 1625 because a visitor, Cassiano del Pozzo, who was del Pozzo, right?
He was the uncle or father of Pozzi from Happy Days.
Great-great-great-grandfather.
I don't know. Please tell me who Pozzi was.
He was an Italian scholar and a patron of the arts, friend of Galileo.
Oh, I'm impressed now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He mentions it. He mentions seeing it at Fontainebleau. He says a standing figure of Leda, almost totally naked, with the swan at her side and two eggs from whose broken shells come forth four babies.
So we've got a finished Leo. Where in the fuck is it? What happened to it? This is killing me. We need to see it.
Well, there's some problems with that, though, because the copies that we have four eggs with four babies, not two eggs with four babies, and she's not almost totally naked. She is totally naked.
Completely, yeah.
So I'm not sure if Cassiano del Pozzo misrepresented the painting or if he's looking at a different painting that is a real Leonardo but isn't – the copies are different or if
–
maybe it was a copy of the, you know, we don't know, or a completely different painting. He didn't say it was by Leonardo because he doesn't really know, but it sounds like it was.
Because it wasn't fucking signed. If I get a time machine, I'm not going to go kill Hitler or see Jesus. I'm just going to walk up to Leo, go, hey, you don't know me, but fucking sign your paintings, dick. And that's all I'm going to do with the time.
And date them. Yeah.
Please. And make a copy. please, yeah. and just store it somewhere.
And just in your notebooks, tell us who you commissioned it and how much they paid you and everything.
I don't care how much food or clothing Salai is costing you. Write down the important stuff. But it was obviously other things were important to him. Like you said, it's a job.
Now, because some people at the time found these paintings of Leda too salacious, stark naked woman getting horny with a god swan. They were often destroyed. There's one tale, which is probably not true, but there's one version of the story that Leonardo's painting was destroyed by Madame de Maintenon, who was the mistress and secret second wife of Louis XIV.
I like Cheryl.
And she got it destroyed. She had it destroyed because she thought King Louis was checking it out a little bit too much.
Rubbing up against it.
She's like, you like that painting of a naked woman more than you like me.
Yes. There is a TV series of her. I saw it on YouTube. So if you want to check out Madame de Maintenon, however you say it, it looked pretty cool because she was giving the king a hard time. She was very tough. Anyway, please continue.
Betcha he was giving her something hard too.
Yeah, he would dress up as a swan. Take it. Anyway, sorry. Going back to Zeus, I'm just trying to picture a real swan going, take it all. That's not romantic. It's not.
Well, speaking of which, I know American adults are big on dressing up for Halloween, which I still can't understand. Like, you're a grown-ass fucking adult. You don't have to dress up.
Escape to fantasy. I just do drugs.
Do they tend to go home and fuck in those costumes afterwards? Is that – because I can get behind that if that's what they're doing. Are they doing a little bit of role play, a little bit of fantasy fucking?
All the kids out there hit mute for 5 seconds. They fuck like wild animals in those costumes. That's 90% of the reason you do it. You take little Jimmy out for some candy, and then you go home and you get your own candy. You know what I'm saying? But yes, it's a part of it. I'm done now.
I might get into it next year. Michelangelo did a painting of Leda and the Swan. It was also probably destroyed.
Shit.
So, there were private patrons saying, "Oi, Leonardo, over here. Hey, look, hey, mate, can you do me a painting of a naked woman? Hey,
keep it on the down."
And he would do it, and then it would get destroyed by somebody's mistress if they ever saw it, or wife or women. Yeah. So there was also a book called I Modi, Italian for the ways, the modes, the ways.
Right.
Also known as the 16 pleasures.
Oh.
And the Latin title was De Omnibus Veneris Schematibus.
Right.
It was a famous erotic book during the Italian Renaissance of a series of sexual positions explicitly depicted in engravings.
Does someone have the model for those? Go ahead.
I hope so. Yeah. they were done by a guy called Marcantonio Ramondi.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no known copies of it exist. There is one engraving and 9 fragments of engravings in the British Museum, and it's thought that these engravings were by a guy called Agostino Veneziano, who had copied from the drawings in the original I Modi. Marcantonio himself was put into prison in the mid-1520s in Rome because of the book. Now, the book was all these sexual positions were being portrayed by famous lovers and gods. There was one of Mark Antony and Cleopatra.
Yeah.
There were different ones of, different gods, rogering different women. Right. So, at the beginning of lovemaking between a man and his – various mistresses, he would say, "What do you want tonight? Yeah. The Antony and Cleopatra, or the Leda and the Swan?" And it was like a menu book. Right. It was like the Kama Sutra, but instead of going at number 65 with a side serving of a 39, you would say, do you want a Mark Antony? And
yeah. I'll take a dollop of Mark Antony.
I'll take a Mark. I'll take the first half of the Mark Antony, but yeah. I'll finish it up with the Leader and the Swan.
When I give you the signal, switch to Leader and the Swan, switch, you know, because it really helps. Totally seriously, keep an eye on the news. They may have found the tomb or something of Cleopatra and Mark Antony or something on the news. I didn't really have, because it was right before I came down. So just keep an eye on that. Keep an eye out for that. That might be something exciting to talk about.
Mm. It's been different from they may have found Alexander's tomb every day for 40 years.
Good point. Yeah. So, but the point is, so for some people, this is art. For some people, this is erotica or whatever. And it's
pornography.
Too far. Pornography.
Thank I you. Know. What Your is pornography? Time. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Yes.
Said the Pope. Yes. Now, Veneziano's fragments that are in the British Museum, I had a look at those. They leave out the naughty bits. So you've got just the head and shoulders of somebody going, but you don't get to see the good stuff. There are other copies somewhat based on it that show the full action. There's a lot of penis and vagina drawings in extreme detail. There's a lot of stimulation of clitorises and buttholes and It's hot and heavy stuff, as God intended, indeed. Mark Antonio's engravings, the originals, were based on a series of erotic paintings by a guy called Giulio Romano, who did them as a commission for the new palazzo of Federico II Gonzaga in Mantua.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy. Now, Mark Antonio had worked extensively with Romano's master, Raphael, who had died in 1520. He producing prints for his design. So Raphael would do a painting. Mark Antonio would come along, do a print of the painting so they could sell prints, make more money.
I like that.
The engravings were published by Mark Antonio. This is the Imodi, the pawn shots in 1524, led to his imprisonment by Pope Clement VII and destruction of all copies, supposedly.
Right. Church don't play.
You just hope that somebody, I'm sure, the Pope had his own copy.
It's
probably in the Vatican somewhere. Yeah. That'll turn up.
Or the Vatican underwear. But same thing. Yeah.
Pope, who's the Pope at the moment? Francis.
Right.
He jokes off to it every night. It's what when you get elected Pope, you get a couple of things. You get proof that Jesus didn't exist. You get the big pointy hat.
Yes.
And you get a copy of Imodi to jerk off to at night. That's standard perks of being the Pope.
If I could real quick, just the face that I want everybody to know this, because you'll probably never see this, but when Cam made the face when he was straining, that's a view that only I, a couple of women, and probably a swan have ever seen.
A lot of women, maybe more than one swan.
So I just was honored to be here for that moment. Please continue.
Speaking of a lot of women.
Yeah.
My boys were in Vegas for a couple of days last week, and they called me on their way back to LA telling me some horrifyingly skanky stories about what they got up to in Vegas.
There's medicine for that. There's shots for that. Don't worry about it.
Let's just say the night ended up with a stripper in their hotel room on all fours with a glow stick up her ass, and them playing ring toss onto the glow stick sticking out of her ass.
I cannot condone that.
No.
If I would have been there, I would have. Well, don't worry about that. But anyway, next time
she would have had something else. Yeah, in her ass. Now Romano wasn't prosecuted because he wasn't in the Papal States, and his images weren't intended for public consumption.
Yeah.
Private. One thing to paint him for private consumption, another thing to do it for public consumption. Now, Leonardo's depiction of Leda and the Swan, as you said before, wasn't really the act of lovemaking, as Michelangelo's apparently was.
Right.
But it was more on them cuddling and on the idea of babies and fertility and that kind of stuff, the moment of the births.
Right.
She's lovingly caressing the swan. The swan's lovingly caressing her back. It's like, oh, look at our little human swan hybrid babies.
Yeah, something beautiful came
out. Well, it wasn't rape in this version. It was consensual.
That's true. I apologize.
But if the copies are anything to go by, Leonardo's painting wasn't overtly sexual. But keeping in mind the era, 1508, 1509, there's a fully naked, full frontal of a woman that you're going to have. And this was not like even Venus in Botticelli's Venus, Birth of Venus. She's a boob. There's a lovely boob. Yeah, there's a couple of boobs in the painting, but mostly fully covered.
Right.
This one? This, for Leonardo to paint a fully naked woman.
Yeah.
Might have been fairly shocking to people of the time. Now, there are sketches that he did, preparatory sketches, which still exist. One of them is one of the jewels of the famed Devonshire collection.
Mm.
Did you see the video of this, Chatsworth House?
No, I missed that. I was too busy. Porn.
Joking anyway, off.
Yeah. No, tell me about it.
You went into YouPorn and typed in swan and that was it. You were like done.
It was about 6 hours. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. So there's this thing called the Devonshire Collection of Art. It's at a place called the Chatsworth House in the UK, home to the Devonshire family. It's been passed down through 16 generations, this house. It's the belonged to the Cavendish family since 1549. It's the seat of the Duke of Devonshire. Leonardo's sketch of Leader and the Swan was probably acquired by the Devonshire collection by either the second or third Duke of Devonshire in the first half of the 18th century. They have an amazing collection of old masters there. I saw a great video on it. Now, Leonardo's sketch of Leader and the Swan almost disappeared during World War II. It was requested on loan for an exhibition of Da Vinci's work in Milan in 1939.
Oh.
Now, the 10th Duke of Devonshire, knowing that there was probably war coming, was a little bit reluctant to send it, but King George VI said, it's fine, I'm sending my stuff.
For fuck's sake.
It's all good, don't worry about it. We've got this under control, the whole thing. War, no, not going to be any war. So they sent the Leonardo, of course, war breaks out. It was actually kept in storage to protect it in their Castle Sant'Angelo in Rome, the old home of the popes, and did finally get returned at the end of the war, but it has a white marking. It got damaged a bit. There's a white marking in the center of the drawing, which the current Duke calls a badge of honor. It survived the war or something.
Put a spin on
it. Like all my bruises. I'm covered in bruises from Kung Fu at the moment.
But you're a warrior.
And I call them my badges of honor. Every bruise is a badge of honor. Exactly. Yeah.
It hurts like a motherfucker, but it's a badge of honor.
It does. Yeah. Covered in bruises.
You know, someone's going to pull you aside one day and go, you know, if Chrissy's hurting you, you can come to me and I'll help you. Ooh. And that's when you have to decide, what kind of husband are you? It's like, yeah, that bitch beat me up all the time. I ain't done nothing wrong. You decide.
Now, Leonardo's sketch, the one at Chatham House, there's a couple of them, but in this particular one, which is the more detailed of the two, the first one, the other one's quite rough, shows her kneeling and her body twisting in joy as the swan is nuzzling against her.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Intimate. It's very erotic.
Yeah.
Very intimate, very erotic.
Right.
And one of the interesting things about it is he's using his new sexy technique of curved hatch lines.
Right.
Something he developed in the 1490s in his drawings of machinery to show volume and curved surfaces. He was using curved hatch lines, another Leonardo invention. No one had ever thought about that before. They're like, lines can be something other than straight.
Well, that was an idea.
Fuck, what? Yeah, why didn't anyone tell me that?
Write that down.
And this he uses is on her belly. Mm-hmm. She's got quite a round belly, and on the swan's breast. But something bothers me about his drawing and the subsequent paintings that come out of this drawing,
right.
Ray. What bothers you? Does anything bother you about this drawing?
I'm not sure what you're going for. I took the one out of the book. I don't know if that's the right one, but the swan's body is odd to me, but I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Just look at Leda's boobs.
Yeah. Leo's not a boob man. He's not a ladies man. The boobs are too high, too close, too small for her, the proportions of her body, because with a little belly like that, she's going to have some knockers. I'm just speaking from experience here. But it's like he took them, pushed them about 4 to 6 inches too high, and said, yeah, that'll do. That's fine. They're very odd. They're not sensual. They're very odd looking.
And they're way too high. Like her nipple line is up at the top of her armpit.
With her armpit, exactly. Not sexy.
I've spent days trying to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
It just looks weird. Now, this is Leonardo.
Yeah, he should know.
Like, we know he's not a boob man. You're right, but... And if you look at the paintings...
He's way off.
It's which a copy is supposedly of his paintings.
Right.
Again, the boobs are they're just wrong.
Yeah.
They're just way out of shape. They're way too sort of circular, spherical, really, and up too high.
They don't look real.
Spherical and up way too high.
Yeah,
they don't look real.
Exactly.
Now, this guy,
it's a filler space.
As we know, we've spent hours and hours and hours talking about his attention to detail of rocks and plants and
the
way light works and eyes and water and everything, hair, fabric.
Curl master.
You know,
he
is absolutely obsessive about attention to detail, and yet he paints or draws and then we think paints her boobs.
Right.
Just so fucking wrong, it's disturbing. Now... Either this was deliberate or accidental, and he just didn't give a fuck. Do you have any theories on why Leonardo, the man who couldn't paint boobs, that's going to be the name of my next book on Leonardo.
I'm trying to figure out, one, you're right, you're absolutely right, his attention to detail and need for perfection when it comes to the human body. I mean, he actually is going and cutting up bodies and try to learn more about the muscles and tendons and everything under the skin, how he completely cocks this up. But the only thing I can come up with is it's a preparatory drawing. He's like, does look kind of weird. I should do better on the next score. I don't know. Or he just doesn't care because it's all about getting that cock. I don't know. It's just a theory that I have. What do you think?
Well, it's not just the preparatory drawing, because if you look at the paintings painted by his students, which art historians believe were based on Leonardo's original painting, the boobs are still wrong.
They're way too high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still not quite as bad as the preparatory drawing, but just wrong. And also, it's not just the boobs, no labia. She's got, like, if you look at the painting, which is supposed to be probably the earliest copy by Francesco Melzi, very devoted student / assistant / maybe lover of Leonardo's. He was the only person outside of clergy who was with Leonardo when he died in 1514.
I'm zooming in.
His painting of Leda and the Swan looks very much like a Leonardo.
Yes.
But again, no, the lady's fun bits are all wrong. Like the boobs are too spherical and way too high. Her no labia. She's got obviously had a Brazilian. There's no pubic hair.
It's gone.
And maybe the swan nibbled it off. I don't know. But maybe, you know, swans are big fans of pubic hair. And if you want to be with a swan, and particularly a god swan,
let it grow.
You've got to go get the Brazilian done. No, you got to get the Brazilian.
Let them pull it out.
They like it smooth down there. Yeah, they like, if they're going to go down and munch down there, they're going to go downtown and munch.
Yeah.
They don't want to get a hair caught in their throat like Larry David.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You don't want. So,
I learn more. Yeah. I learn new things every time I talk to you, Cam. Thank you.
As I always say to Chrissy, if you want me down there licking, get that wax a sticking. That's what I always say.
Do you want the swan attack or not? You better smooth it out, baby. because that'll make rough landings. I don't know if swans fly or not.
But she's as smooth down there as a Barbie doll, right? Yes, like there's nothing.
Or Ken.
Yeah, okay. No labia, nothing. Like
the V.
Like, and I'm being deadly serious here. Yeah. Like, we're fucking around as usual. But Leonardo, on one hand, Mr. Obsessive Attention to Detail.
The soil, the grass. Yeah.
OCD takes years to do a painting because he needs to get it absolutely perfectly right.
Exactly.
Yet, boobs and vaginas, vulvas, labia, no.
Not his forte.
Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, it's either he's like, look, no one's ever seen a naked woman before, so they're not going to tell.
They're not
going to
know.
Or B, women don't deserve to be accurately represented because, like, they're the lowest form of form of life in God's kingdom.
Right.
Or he couldn't look at one to study it. He's like, ew, I don't want to look at that. That's horrible. Or it was difficult to get nude models.
Yeah.
Men.
Oh, all day long. Private
place, right? Yeah, exactly, right? He spent days and days just studying men's cocks.
Let me just take it all off here because I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually do.
Yeah.
But women. I'm sure it was improper for, you know, doing like a life class. You didn't have women just getting it off and posing for artists.
Right.
You know, he probably had access to corpses of women that he could use to study because we know he loved cutting up corpses to do the insides and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But, we have sketches that he did of, you know, babies inside wombs. And
even
then, though, remember the drawing of the labia and the vulva in his one drawing was just of the vagina. It was horrifying. It looked like something out of an Aliens movie or the monster in the first season of Stranger Things is just going, rah! Like,
not in a good way. Do you remember –
Little Shop of Horrors. You know?
I think it was early this year or late last year when we talked about there was some kind of quote where he found women's various parts not disgusting but offensive or weird or odd looking, or basically it's not his cup of tea. So on one hand, as a gay man, I'm not too surprised that he's not really going into detail, but on the other hand, that's what he's known for, details. But maybe his gayness won out over his artness.
You're saying you personally, as a gay man, aren't surprised by this, or are you saying that Leonardo?
I would have done the same.
Was a gay man, or both?
This time I'm talking about him, but for some reason this painting has given me an idea. When we record the last episode of Nero, we should just do it naked, just sit in our chairs, butt naked, and just record the whole episode. I don't know why it's just coming to me. It feels right. It feels right. Anyway,
as opposed to just having your pants off like you normally do,
like right now, right. Right.
All right. Odd. Well, that sort of bothers me about this.
Oh, yeah. The boobs.
Back to
the
Francesco Melzi painting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is another theory that Leonardo didn't paint any paintings much at this stage, that he just did the original design, did the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And then let his assistants do the painting, and then he would come in and like touch it up. He would finish it off at the end.
A little here, there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Just to make it sparkle. He would come in and wave his magic wand and do the final bits. We don't really know, but this painting, as I said, it looks like a Leonardo. It's Leda standing completely stark as with her arms wrapped lovingly around a very large swan, which has one of its wings wrapped around her buttocks.
Yes, it does.
In a loving embrace.
And caress.
She's staring down at four creepy fucking babies coming out of four eggs. Oh, no, it's only two eggs. I thought it was four, but it's only two.
It is two eggs. I apologize. I thought it was
two eggs.
Yeah.
Because it's two halves. Now, those eggs don't look anywhere big enough to contain the bodies of those babies.
As someone who's been in a bubble for 2 months, trust me, they were cramped in those eggs. That is the only way.
Smushed, I think is the medical term.
Yes.
Smushed together.
A lot of moisture in there. The two that are facing us must be Castor and Pollux because they have pee-pees, whereas the other two are supposed to be females, but they're facing away from us. So clever.
Because he couldn't paint
For shit, baby, he couldn't paint
lady them, bits, girly shit. Bits exactly. either.
Even little ones. Even little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but the detail is amazing. Absolutely. And every inch of this painting, the detail is amazing.
Except for the lady bits.
Except for that. Shit, I had something. Oh, you were saying that maybe he didn't paint this. Maybe he did the concept, the sketch, and either Mautzy or whoever takes over. But if we remember correctly, he is deep into, I think, flight studying and also light being refracted. So the point is he is busy, and there's a good chance he said, okay, I want you to do this. I'm going to draw it out, and you just, you know, you do the color and you do the detail. I'm busy doing my other thing. So it certainly is possible. And again, because he doesn't sign it or doesn't mention it in his books and in any great detail, we will probably never know the truth.
And there's a quote from somebody around this day, mm-hmm. this age, one of his contemporaries, saying Leonardo doesn't like the brush much. Oh. He doesn't like picking up the brush.
Busy.
Now he's got more important things to do. We kind of get the sense that Leonardo, painting was pretty boring to him at this stage. Right. It wasn't his jam. He would do it if he
had to. It doesn't get the blood going. It doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
But so he'd get his students to do it, and then he'd just come up and he'd like just give it a tap, just so that you could say, yes, I painted some of this.
It's now a
when
Leo,
he delivered it to clients.
Because I stroked thusly. Yeah.
Just finishing off Leader in the Swan, still apparently is very controversial, apart from trigger warnings for university students. In April 2012.
Right.
An art gallery in London, England, was instructed by police.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Scotland Yard. What's going on here then? they said to remove a modern exhibit of Leader and the Swan.
Fuck you.
Because of Section 63 of the Criminal Justice and Immigration Act 2008.
Sure.
Brought in by the Labour Party.
Sure.
Condemning violent pornography and for condoning bestiality.
Oh, well, yeah, this painting hits both of those. So, but still, it's art. Come on. For fuck's sake, it's art.
It was done by photographer Derek Santini, a photographer from North Yorkshire, used a real-life model and a swan to create a modern take on the whole myth, and he turned it into a lenticular image. So, what is that? You know those things you used to have as a kid that you turn them and the image moves?
Oh, yeah,
you
know,
He turned into one of those. So as you walk past it, the swan is pumping. Leader's on her back. The swan's above her. And it's thrusting into her you walk past.
That's straight porn, my friend. That's bestial porn. Yeah.
The police came in and forced the gallery to take it down because it was breaking the law. So there you go.
There's always one asshole. Yeah.
Imagine, you know, how people felt about Leonardo's original painting 500 years ago.
So I'm not surprised. I'm a lot less surprised if it was destroyed back then because, it must have been shocking at the time.
Well, that's the story of swan fucking for this episode. We'll be back next time with a painting of Leonardo's that we do have.
Right.
But I personally question whether or not it's really a Leonardo. That will be next time on The Muppet Show.
Hey, everybody.
Hi-ho.